And for everybody on this call, just want to say good morning, happy Monday, and really appreciate the opportunity given by Mary Jo and Lydia for me to really have a chance to spend some time with you all. It is a great time for Manatech. I think for those of you who were with us at any one of the different ManaQuest, whether it was in Seattle, in Orlando, in Chicago, what an incredible time we had. What an incredible environment, just the electricity, just the hope, the belief. People just coming back from just all kinds of different places in their lives, in their business, and really committing to being part of this incredible mission that we have. And I think you all agree with me that M5M, Mission 5 Million, has become really something that we can all get behind. A very safe, I call it an umbrella to work under, where everything is possible, and it kind of connects people that, you know, whether you were a product person, whether you are a business opportunity person, whether you're really driven by your mission, that it really applies to everyone. And I believe that under that umbrella, we have the best chance we've ever had as a company to really, really take our message to the ends of the world. And so we are really excited. We know that, as you know, as a company, over the last three quarters, so that's three months time frames, the company has been profitable. The company is back on a growth mode. We've had some incredible things happen in places like Korea, where it's 140% growth. That's more than doubling in just 1 year. In places like South Africa and Canada and Mexico, all of them, you know, registering over 30-40% growth in the last year. So we know that these things are happening, and we are seeing some of the signs as well right here in North America, between U.S. and Canada. Recruiting has been the highest we've had in a long time, and especially what we call our champions. The champion recruiting has been the highest. It's been almost double what it's been last year. So all of these things are really just kind of leading us down a place where we realize that something really special is happening. We're connecting. The message is connecting with folks from all walks of lives. And, you know, whether you are right here in the United States, or you're in Korea, or you're in Japan, or anywhere else in the world, in South Africa, our message is connecting. So today, I think what we're going to be talking about really is, how do you jump on this bandwagon? How do you? I know where you're sitting and you're wondering, okay, so if these things are happening, I mean, obviously we know that all these people have the same message, same product, same you know, website, same everything. I mean, we really, actually in some of these places, they probably don't even have some of the facilities that we have today in North America in terms of, you know, websites and tools and so on. But yet, it's just the power of the message, the power of the message. And I'm really excited that we have come to this place. It's been a long time coming. We have been working to find our voice in the marketplace, and I think we have. And the proof of that is that not only we're seeing these results, but the company's been able to attract some very high-profile people. About 5 or 6 months ago, we attracted Roy Truitt, who was the, you know, top COO in a country, and who came in from USANA, a really large company, which I believe is probably one that's the closest to being a viable competitor to Manatech, but came to Manatech. Really first phone call he made after leaving USANA, and really got the feeling for what we're doing here, and is committed to bringing us to, I think, the 21st century from a high-tech website and operations. Then we also attracted Bo Short, who a veteran, 20 years, veteran of the industry. And someone who has really connected with our vision mission just came back from Mexico, where with Sam and himself, they met up with Vicente Fox, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Prize winner, Congress Medal, U.S. Congress Medal, Gold Medal recipient as well. Someone who's really the absolute poster child for social entrepreneurship, and obviously won a Nobel Prize for the work that he's done. To think that we are part of that club, that we're really becoming, I don't know if you guys saw some of the pictures on Facebook, but M5M was prominently featured during the talks that Vicente Fox had at the Fox Center. And this is where they invited people from all around the world to actually talk about how social entrepreneurship can really change the big problems of the world. And that was the keynote speech from Mr. Muhammad Yunus at that event. So it was very apropos that we were there, that Sam was there, and to have that global, worldwide recognition that someone like Sam is doing exactly the same things that as of Muhammad Yunus has done with Grameen Bank and gotten, obviously, all of the visibility that he has. So having said that, it comes back down to what are you going to do with all of this? We know that M5M is going to be a viral movement. We know that every movement needs champions. It needs lots of people. And we know that people are going to participate with just a simple act, one act, just by purchasing a product, or they're going to participate by creating sustainable teams. So a team of 15, which is an RD, is we consider that being able to help a soup mom somewhere in the world. Then if you go up the next level, when you're helping 60 people, 60 children, that's, we call it national, but really for us now it's like being able to support an orphanage. At 200, which we call executive, that's really supporting a community feeding center. It's taking care of a small region of a country. And literally by becoming a presidentials and beyond, you are now taking care of a whole country, probably, the country of Belize, as Jeff Allen likes to call it. You are really now at this place where you are making a tremendous impact into the world. And for us, the fact that you can change your world while you change their world is something that we believe is very attractive for people. I spent a week just traveling around a couple of weeks ago, testing out some of the different presentations that we've had. We introduced the booklet, the Manatech history book, the Company of Legacy, Company of Destiny, and that book was incredible in terms of getting people to sit down and listen. I used the M5M approach, which was really more about, this is what's going on in the world, and we need your help. That had incredible appeal. And then I used a normal presentation about people who really wanted to make a change financially. And there again, I think that our message resonated is because people do realize that they have a problem in their own world, and some people are probably starting there, that they want to find ways to change their lives, but they connect to the idea that by changing their lives, they're also helping change the world. And that gives people permission to be able to go out there and do the things they need to do to be able to prosper, move ahead. I like what Bo Short says, empty plates don't feed hungry children. And we're starting to realize that it takes resources. It takes resources to be able to go out there and make a difference in the world. And Manatech becomes an incredible vehicle for you and I to create those resources that will then help us be able to go out and not only take care of ourselves, because until you've taken care of yourself, you're not in a position to be completely there yourself to go out and actually help others. And we believe that that's exactly what we have the ability to do. This mechanism called Manatech helps us to be able to do both. But what I like about it is the fact that, in doing it, you are also providing an incredible value to an end consumer. You know, the difference between Manatech and many of the other companies that are actually going to be jumping on a fray, because I think we're going to see other companies out there wanting to duplicate our concept, because it's a concept that makes sense. I think Tom Hsu definitely proved it, you know, in a shoe business, that the concept of buy one, give one absolutely works. So there's going to be other companies out there trying to do exactly what we're doing. But this is where there's going to be a big difference, is what are they offering to an end consumer? You know, we became a $400 million company just on the fact that our products were so powerful. Our stories, our testimonials were so powerful. The impact of what we had in our hand, an incredible discovery like glyconutrients. Wow, that in itself, by itself, could just launch a company to be $1 billion. Without anything else, just the fact that we have products that really create results. We have real solution to real problems out there. And we all know that if we're solving a problem, then we will always be positioned to be able to create wealth, because wealth is a byproduct of solving people's problems. And that's true for you guys, everybody who's listening here. Your wealth, the wealth you create, your legacy is in direct proportion to the type of problems that you solve. The bigger the problem, the greater the rewards and the numbers of people that you're able to help in that process. It's always a byproduct of solving a problem, okay? And in that way, we believe that Manatech really has the best solution in the marketplace for that, regardless of everything else. But then you attach to that an incredible mission like the one that, you know, we have, what we call a big, hairy, audacious goal like we have to really be able to reach out to 5 million children, which, by the way, that is only the tip of the iceberg. There's 168 million children who suffer for some form of stunting due to malnutrition. Those are the UNICEF numbers. Those are the food organization, the global food organization's statistics. 168 million children suffer from some form of intellectual or physical stunting due to malnutrition. So, folks, there's room to grow. 5 million is a great place to start, but I'm sure that with time, I think we're going to be going way beyond 5 million. So that means we'll be way beyond a $5 billion company. We'll be way beyond having 2,500 to 5,000 millionaires in that process, because there's no other way for this to work unless some of you step up to the game and decide that you are going to take this on head on, and in that process, become a millionaire as well, which is what's happened to the founder of Tom Shoes. Outside of having donated over 10 million shoes so far, the great thing about Tom Shoes is that it is a for-profit company, and the founder obviously has done very well in that process. It's a big idea. Buy one, give one is a big idea. It's an idea that can create a lot of wealth while doing a lot of good. And I hope everybody on this call will understand that, will appreciate that, and will claim that for their own lives. Claim that for your own life. I'm going to change the world while I change my world. Those two things are not contradictory. Those two things are not separate. It's an incredible model of business that we're about to step into come August 31st, which is going to be where we actually draw the line in the sand and change over to this new business model. Folks, if it's worked in the banking industry, if it's worked in the shoe industry, it's going to work in the nutrition industry. The big thing is that when we're providing nutrition as a solution, that is truly a life and death kind of a proposition. Where shoes and other things are great. I mean, obviously, we love the idea that Grameen Bank has been able to help eliminate some form of poverty in third world nations, and that's probably a life and death situation as well. But I think that we would agree that when it comes to food, there's nothing that comes closer to becoming really a life and death kind of proposition, and that's what we're going to be able to play into and be able to be a major force, a major movement for good in that environment. So you're sitting here and you're going, okay, so how does that help me get myself to do the things that I need to do in order to succeed in Manatech? How does my uncommon dreams become stronger and bigger than my fears of making a list, my fears of picking up the phone and calling somebody and just letting them know what you're up to and say something to them? Because, again, as I found out this last couple of weeks, it's not so much the message or the messenger. It's the person who's receiving the message. If they're ready, it doesn't matter what that message is. They're ready. If they're not ready, I don't care what the message is, it's not going to work. You can't say the wrong thing to the right people. You cannot say the right thing to the wrong people. So all we can do, what you can do, is just have the confidence to go out there and say something. And that's why I love M5M. M5M gives us the courage. It gives us the moral authority to pick up the phone and call someone without at any point feeling like we're going to bug him or we're going to this is about you and I. It's not. Yeah, we know that what we have to do offers an incredible opportunity for them to be part of a major, major social movement in this country and in this world. So, hey, nothing to stop us from doing that. But again, once we've called them, once we've presented to them, once we follow up with them, how do we get them started, all those things that you have learned, obviously, with Mary Jo and Lydia over the years, all the skills to do. I don't think anybody on this call has a lack of skills, has a lack of what to say. Most of us need that reason to go out and do it. Is our uncommon dream so strong, so powerful, that it overcomes any of our fears? Because right now, every single day, there's two things at play: your dreams, your fears, your dreams, your fears, your dreams, your fears, your dreams, your fears. So every minute you're making a decision, and as you're making that decision, the thing that's winning is how strong is the dream versus how strong is the fear. Now, let's talk about the dream a little bit, because an uncommon dream will birth the uncommon life. You know, I think that all of us need to be able to have this thing that, you know, really grabs us and makes us get out of bed in the morning and wanting to do certain things, even though they're not comfortable, even though they're outside our comfort zone. Because you will agree with me, most of us, our dreams will never be in our comfort zone. You are in your comfort zone. Whatever you have right now is your comfort zone. This is where you're comfortable doing every day. And what you do every day from your comfort zone has created where you are right now today. So unless we decide that we're going to change something, then obviously we can't change the outcome. But in this case, the outcome is not just your outcome. But let me talk a little bit about M5M, because I just had that conversation actually in my office this past week with someone who is excited about the M5M, understand what that does, but wanted to figure out how does that apply to me? How does M5M really help me get myself to that next level of activity, which I know is what I need in order to create the uncommon life that I want? And that was a very good question, because for some of us, just thinking about what's happening to the children might be good enough to get us out there doing what we need to do. I have to be honest, until about a year and a half ago, when Sam and I actually stood there in a soup kitchen in South Africa, I cannot say that the reality of what happens to the children had struck me as much as it did that day. To know that that's the only thing they're going to eat all day, and yet because of the technologies, our technologies that we're putting into that soup, that they're going to be eating better than probably any kid here in North America. And that was an awesome feeling. That was a great feeling. That brought it home for me in understanding that. Because until then, I couldn't even picture that. For some of you, maybe just knowing that we do something great for the children may not be good enough. So what is it that's going to really help you synthesize that your dream in such a way that it really becomes an inner force to move you forward? Because, you know, all of us, you know, have an assignment. All of us have been put on this earth to do something really, really, really special. You know, and sometimes the uncommon dream may appear impossible, okay? But it is not, because, you know, and it is just that, you know, if you have that yearning, if God's got put that yearning in your heart, there is no question that at the same time he's giving you the capabilities to make that dream come true. Now, I'll go back to 32 years ago when I first, you know, came into this industry, when I went to that first meeting where I got really excited about the idea as a first-generation immigrant of being able to do something special in my life. Because, you know, most of us who have come to this country really came looking for that American dream. We knew we wanted to do something special. And a big price was paid by our parents and other people to make sure that we could be here, that we could come as a 17-year-old boy to come and study and maybe one day become an engineer and then be able to get a good job and then be able to make all my dreams come true, the American dream come true. Well, it wasn't until that meeting, which 3 years into being into this country, that I realized that maybe that 40-year plan was not the way that my dreams was going to come true. And it became evident, obviously, by those who had been ahead of me a long time, you know, in that 40-year plan, that they didn't see themselves being able to achieve their dreams. And that's when it became clear to me that I had to do something different if I wanted to live that uncommon life. And some of us, we need to sit down and if time and money was no object, what would we want our life to look like? It is time to make that list of what is that a perfect life would look like. How many of us have settled for something less than a perfect life? Only because, I mean, we just, you know, it reminds me of the Clemmer saying about do dogs like bones? And frankly, if dogs could talk, they'd probably tell us that, you know, they don't like bones. They like steak, but, you know, they settle for bones. And that's, you know, that's how some of us operate every day. We have settled for things that are less than perfect. But how many of us have taken the time to really describe what is a perfect life look like? If failure was not an option, if there was no limitation of time and money, what would our lives look like? And that would be, for me, the first exercise to do. Can start with that end in mind. What is your perfect life going to look like? What are the things that truly you are passionate about? I read a book some time back called The Passion Test. Sona Vanderhoop recommended it for me, and I went and bought that book. And it was very interesting because I never understood that there is actually a process to finding your passion. There's a process for finding what is truly your passion. And it walks you through that whole, you know, that whole process. And at the end, when you get to it, you're going to find that thing that moves you is a thing that really, it literally makes you cry. I remember reading that book on a plane to Europe. I was about to go do a boot camp there. And I added this component to the boot camp, which is, you know, of finding your passion. And my goodness, I mean, I had grown man, Norwegian, big, tough dude who absolutely just broke down and cried when he got to the place where he realized what his passion really was. And I can tell you that for most of them, their passion was not really the children. Their passion was something else. I remember one of the girls, her passion was to really be able to do something about stopping smoking because her mom had died from smoking. She died early because she was a heavy smoker. And so she was committed to changing that. So how did we connect then that passion for stopping smoking in a world with Manatech? Well, it was simple. At the end of the day, we realized that it takes time and money, resources, time and money, to be able to make your passions come true, whatever that passion is, time and money, time and money, time and money. So as we went through in a room of 30 people, it became very evident that most of them could really accomplish their dreams. They could really tap into that passion that they had for whatever that was. I think there was two people in the room who had a passion for children, and bang, that was like perfect for them because that fit right in that need. But if it wasn't the children, then guess what? They knew they could get the time and the money in the process of doing their business. And with that time and money, they could go and do whatever they wanted to do that they were really passionate about. Well, once that happened, they also realize, but at the same time, as I'm pursuing to get the time and the money that I need to be able to pursue my passion, that I'm going to be automatically also saving children. So that was just a serendipity of the process, but it was a great serendipity. I'm sure all of you would agree with me. So I think that it is really important for everybody on this call that, you know, especially at a time where we know everything is starting to move. Folks, this train is leaving the station. I will tell you right now, we expect some big things to be happening, and there's a lot of you who have been with us for so many years that we know you have the passion, you have the resolve, you have what it takes, you have the love for this thing to be on this train. And sometimes you are just wondering, how does this work for you? How do you get started? Well, I would say stay started by describing your perfect world, the life you want to live, and then realizing that it is through this mechanism called Manatech that you can achieve that which is really your passion. And now, for some of us, besides just describing it, maybe it is about putting it on pictures. Around this house, I wake up every morning to a full wall. My bedroom wall is a full wall of dream boards. My wife is a big believer in dream boards. She started her life 7 years ago, pretty much homeless and with three children, and started with an 8x11 whiteboard that she wrote things on it that she wanted to accomplish. And every year, she took things out of this 8x11 board. Now, her 8x11 board now has become now this huge wall that we have in our bedroom, and that's how she lives her life. And I'm excited to be married to a woman who understands the power of dreams and the power of being able to visualize those dreams. The other piece of it is that, you know, we must verbalize these things. Going back in 1980s, when I first got involved in this business, I did not really understand the power of dreams. So I had this yearning to do something special. I knew that my parents had not put themselves to so much sacrifices for me to just have a regular average life. I wanted to have an uncommon life. Deep down inside, I knew that that was part of the drive that I had. But I had to borrow a few dreams along the way, you know, because I remember sitting in rooms where people talked about being able to bring their wives home because, you know, this was a great opportunity for them to bring their wives home. And you know what? I wasn't even married yet, but, you know, I thought it was kind of a good one. You know, I liked that one. So I said it every meeting I had. I talked about how one day when I get married and we have children that I wanted my wife to be able to come home if she wanted to in order to raise our children so that we wouldn't be, a babysitter wouldn't be passing on her values to my children. And that was something both my wife and I agreed was a great thing to do. I said it for 7 years. For 7 years, I said it every single time I was in a meeting. And guess what? Over time, that became part of my dream. And it was interesting that, you know, while we floundered around for 5-6 years doing really the average stuff with our business, the minute I heard the word "we're pregnant," it's almost like something went into action. And within 8 months, I did more in 8 months than I had done in 7 years. And by the time my daughter was born, my wife, our business was at a level where my wife could actually retire from John Hancock at the time and be able to stay home and raise our children. So that was part of this verbalization process. First, being in an environment with dreamers, catching the dream from other people, but then making that your dream. I also like the idea of traveling the world, visiting my businesses for years and years and years. When there was no reason for me to even believe that was possible, I said at every single meeting, every time I presented the plan to someone, I always said, one day I will be traveling the world visiting my businesses. One day I'll be traveling the world visiting my businesses. One day I will travel the world visiting my businesses. Well, I said that enough so that by 1991, 10 years later, I was able to retire from engineering and go ahead and travel the world for literally almost 28 years. and over 106 countries. So again, sometimes some things are not exactly what we, you know, we may borrow a dream from somebody, and then eventually it becomes our dream if we say it enough. So there's a power in what we verbalize. But, you know, I had never gone through the exercise of actually sitting down and describing my perfect world. Because, see, in a perfect world, I probably would have not wanted to travel as much as I did. But because I never sat down to write it down, to really understand what is it I wanted, I ended up having a dream and making it come true, even though it was not exactly the perfect dream. And that's why I'm going to encourage you all on this call. The thing for today, the thing we all need to do in order to really be able to jump on this train that's about to leave the station. M5M is leaving the station. This thing is going to become a global movement before your very eyes. And in order to be able to be in a position to maximize this for your life, for your children, for the legacy that you're going to leave behind, be willing to take the time to sit down and really describe that perfect world. And then pick those pieces that you can and put it in ways that you can see it. And then verbalize it with everybody that you believe are those that will support your dreams. Verbalize it. I loved presenting the plan because every time I presented the plan, I got excited about my dreams. Because I talked about my dreams at every one of these. Because a lot of times I realized that the people I was talking to didn't have a dream. They didn't have a dream. They hadn't gone through this exercise. They didn't know what they wanted to do. So basically, they lived vicariously through the dreams, my dreams, and what I was willing to put out there. And some of them followed, and some of them became part of my dreams because they liked the idea. And you know what? It didn't take too long before I had a whole team of people who wanted to stay home and raising their children, that I had a team of people that were willing to travel with me all over the world. And some of them did. And, you know, Luciano was one of them who we spent 32 years, actually in his case, 26 years just going around and traveling the world together. And that was someone who just got caught up in my dreams as well. And you'd be surprised how many people you will bring along with you, and their lives will be richer and more fulfilled because that they were around you, because you were you had your own dream, because you were willing to have a dream, you were willing to actually declare that dream, that you were willing to put it in writing, that you were willing to get a picture of it, and that you lived in that dream, that you lived in your dream, that you lived in your passion and the things that you really want to do. For some of us, I mean, I just turned 53. I know that, you know, there's a few things that got to happen fast. I don't have time. My wife and I just woke up this morning talking about it. I mean, we don't have time to be waiting around for things to happen. We got to get even more excited, more committed to making some of our dreams to come true, because you know, we just don't have any other choice. This is the time. This is the time. It's never been better than what it is right now. Folks, we're not trying to motivate you. This is not about just, pumping sunshine, on a Monday morning. This is about reality. If you were at the last three mana quests, you felt it. You knew that people have gotten committed in a way that, you know, I haven't seen in 7 years that I've been around Manatech. So I am really excited about the idea of what we're doing, and I'm looking forward to really being able to be with those of you who have decided to take on this mission. But just not take on the mission. I hope that the mission that you're taking on is a mission of your life, the mission of your dreams, the mission of your family, and the, you know, the people around you. I believe all of us deserve to finish strong. We need to finish strong, and I love what I heard some time back. The idea of finishing strong was really all about being able to leave a legacy to our children. We have told our children so many great things about what it takes to make life worthwhile, to really accomplish great things, that we've given them all the best advice in the world and so on. But they're watching our lives, and they're wondering, where are we? How are we doing? Did all these things that we told them to do, did all these things work for us? So for me, finishing strong is just a way to validate everything we have told our children over the years that was true. And I take that very seriously. I know our children watch us. Sometimes they're watching us even more than we believe they are. And that's for a reason for me why I believe it's really important that we take this very seriously. That this is not just a luxury. This is not just something we do or we don't do. I think this is something we deserve to do it for the children that we're trying to impact in our own lives, outside, and then also obviously for the children of the world that are going to be better because of what we do. But first of all, that we are impacting our children so that they can actually see through our lives and our example and our results that everything that we stood for was worth standing for. And what a legacy then we leave for them. Our Bible says we need to be able to take care of our children and our grandchildren. And how many of us are in that position? But I tell you what, this is the opportunity, the right time, the right opportunity, the right reason to do it, and certainly, as of a few weeks ago, the right comp plan to do it with, because it will reward you in ways that are going to be pretty incredible. But besides the rewards, I think the experience would be priceless. The experience will be priceless. So I am looking forward to seeing you all. I hope that, you know, I'll be seeing a lot of you in Cabo, and certainly we're going to be in Branson on the 31st of this month, at the end of the August. And what an incredible event that's going to be. If you live anywhere within 300 to 400 miles, I'd say just do whatever it takes to be there. What an awesome event it's going to be, not just because Ben Carson is going to be there, Dr. Ben Carson, probably potentially our next president of the United States, but also because of all our leaders, Sam Castor, Bo Short, Rob Sinnott, and everybody else. But then there's all our leaders. It's going to be just an amazing event where we draw that line and we really come into our greatness, the thing that we were designed to be from day one. Because we've kind of, you know, we've kind of come 360 degrees to that place that we were called for, the assignment that we were called for. And what an incredible time it's going to be to really be able to come into our own and be able to operate as a company within our original passion, which is the passion of Sam and Linda, for being a company of provision for those of us who need that provision for health, and for the children who need that provision just to live. And I think those things all are very important. So, Lydia, I hope I've covered kind of some of the things that you wanted me to cover. Certainly talked about some of the things that are in my heart right now, as I'm looking forward to the things that are coming with Manatech, and really feeling blessed, absolutely blessed to be out, you know, able to hitch my wagons to such an incredible company, to be able to be pulled on to this incredible mission, to know that, you know, we're following somebody like Sam and Linda and others who have made such a strong commitment to make this world a better place. And I hope that we all feel very fortunate to be part of that, because you know what? There's a lot of ways to make a living. There's a lot of things you could do with your life. But you know what? We choose to do this, and this is probably the most incredible opportunity that we have to really make a difference in the world. So I'll pass it back on to you, Lydia, and again, give my love to Mary Jo, and thank you for the opportunity to talk to these fine people on a Monday morning, and let's make it a phenomenal week and a phenomenal EP and a phenomenal year. Thank you, guys. A pleasure.
Thank you, Al, very much for that insight. And you have a great day. We appreciate all that you're doing for us, and appreciate you being able to fill in for Mary Jo. You know, we have you this week. Next pleasure. Week, Sam's going to be on the phone, and I'm sure he'll share some stuff that happened in Mexico with all of us. So,
yeah.
And now you just have a great week this week. We're ready to rock and roll is all I have to say.
Don't miss that call next week. It's going to be phenomenal because I'm sure Sam is pumped from what's happened this weekend, and he's got a lot to share. So I'm sure it's going to be a phenomenal call. I might even get on a call and listen. All right.
Okay. Thank you,
guys.
Al.
We love you. Have a great vacation as well. Talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Well, guys, does anybody have any questions for me? Star 6 to unmute. If not, let's just call it let's end it for today. And just go out there and use the stuff Al shared with us today. And I'm going to get this posted up here shortly. So go back and re-listen to it if you need to. If not, you guys all have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a great day.